Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
Before we start, Milwaukee.
Oh, Milwaukee!
Are you ready?
Look at the gods, the drugs, the multi-interaction, and it's a sex. The gods, the beast, the fraud, the messing with me. Come on, come on, come on, let's get it out.
Awesome!
Drink it in, man.
You just made the list.
And you can't beat that! Top Guys out.
Glorious!
We're here.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome back to the DWI podcast. My name is PC Tunney, and I am your commissioner and the commissioner
of the United States.
That's right, of the Americas. And as you can tell, I am joined by the man, the myth, the legend, the kingpin, El Presidente, the publisher, if you will. The man who runs the show, the creator, and boy, oh boy, the man at the wheel, literally and figuratively right now, of thechairshot.com, it's none other than my good friend from out west, Greg DeMarco. Greg, thank you for filling in here. DPP is off doing scientific things. He's a scientist now. I don't know how to deal with that, but it's great to have you here, and we're going to have a great conversation today. How the hell are you?
Man, I am fantastic. It's Friday. I'm on my way home. I'm mobile. But thanks to the magic of technology, we get to do this. But yeah, it's exciting. I haven't been on DWI in a while because you guys sometimes can't do it. But yeah, it's going to be fun. And fun's what it's all about. That's why we do this shit, right? For fun.
I got to be honest with you. The older I get, the more I wish I was a teacher so I would have summer vacations. So unfortunately, DPP and I have a summer vacation on DWI. It is what it is, but we're back. That's going great. You know, you got your own thing going on with the Greg DeMarco show. I know you had a huge interview this week, so everybody should get over to thechairshot.com and check that out. We'll get into that more moving forward. But, you know, you talk about it's Friday, and I feel like, you know, the movie, you want to say the line, man, you ain't got no job, you ain't got shit to do.
You ain't got a job, you ain't got shit. I don't even know the line, but I remember it.
We were just talking before. I am officially on vacation until a week from this Monday. And then you're on vacation after that, I'm pretty sure you told me. So I don't have any plans. It's more of a staycation. I got a few things to do around the domicile. I probably want to hit the links a little bit. Maybe I'll bring you guys some special podcasts, you know, if the wind blows up my ass a certain way that day. But do you have any special plans for your vacation, Mr. DeMarco?
So I do. The family is going to San Diego, California. Get a little R&R. Maybe go to SeaWorld, see some animals. We'll see. But yeah, and it's a Monday through Friday trip to San Diego because, as most people know, I have kids that do a lot of stuff. I have a daughter who dances and a son who plays soccer. And between the two of them, both of the weekends that are bookending that week have things. So literally the actual vacation part is Monday through Friday because we got shit to do the weekends on either end of that. So still fine with it. The kids are on fall break. The wife's on fall break. So I took the week off and yeah, man, it couldn't come at a better time. Of course, usually a week off can always never come at a better time.
Oh, amen. You can say that like five times in a row and twice on Sunday. Are you driving or flying?
Couldn't have come at a better time. Couldn't have come at a better time. Couldn't have come. At a better time. I'll stop it at 3.
That's fine. Booker's got the last two. Are you driving or flying?
Driving. San Diego is a drivable distance from Phoenix. It's basically, if you flew, if you put in the time it takes to get to the airport, and do all that shit and then fly and then get out of the airport and get a rental car, it's the same amount of time. So, yeah, we're going to drive.
How long is the drive?
About five and a half hours.
Okay, that's respectable. I've done those drives. I'm telling you, if it's like, if it's six or less, I'm good with the drive. If it's more than that, I don't know. Sometimes it's nice to fly, but that can be more expensive too. So, all right.
Yeah, summer 2018 to Colorado, it was eight. And the eight was way better than I thought it was going to be, driving the eight. I think that's the limit for me, though.
Is it an okay drive with the family? Is everybody good in the car? I mean, it's not one of those things where one person is just horrible and they won't be quiet or they have problems all the time, or does everybody have their own device and it's kind of silent?
As long as their phones are fully charged, they're good. I mean, they're 11 and 13, so everybody's got a phone, and we'll bring some tablets. Yeah, they'll be totally fine. That's not a problem. The problem is sometimes, you know, you got to stop more often, but it's a short drive. I'm not really worried about it.
All right, Greg, I'm going to let everybody know what's happening this week on the DWI podcast, and we're minus the formerly architect, now scientist, DPP, so we're going to do things a little different. And in honor of not playing the Big Show clip, I'm going to tell you that you can go on the WWE Network and check out Big Show in an episode of Photoshoot, which I watched the other night, and I thought it was really cool. You see some photos of him coming up and who has actually taught him how to be a giant, how he got into the business, et cetera, et cetera. Big Show to me is always interesting. So this week on the Big Show sheet, we're actually going to start off with CM Punk, believe it or not. We're going to move it on over to the mayor of Slamtown, if you will. Rey Mysterio liked my tweet. We're going to talk about him. NXT versus AEW is an obvious topic. And we're going to close it out with Kofi Kingston versus Brock Lesnar, much anticipated and much feared for many a Kofi fans. Greg DeMarco, DPP ain't here. So why don't you give me your version of Ring the Bell?
Ding, ding, motherfucker. Ding, ding.
That was excellent. DPP's got some competition now. We talked about...
You can cut that out. You can cut that out next time and make it a soundbite.
Okay, I'm marking the tape right now. Well done, Greg. Thank you much. Appreciate that. Ring the bell. Don't worry, folks are used to waiting for me to write stuff down on this show. Okay. CM Punk. There's actually a reason to talk about him. Okay. Besides what's been going on for however long that hasn't really gone anywhere, wondering if he'd ever come back, hoping he would, at least somewhere of relevance, and not just that one amazing masked thing that happened in Milwaukee that I missed. I don't want to talk about it. CM Punk apparently showed up to FS1 Studios for a screen test for their new studio show, WWE Backstage. People know how I feel about CM Punk. People know that I want him to come back. Can't wait. Don't care about any of the other shit. Just get in the ring with somebody viable and create great storylines and matches. Mr. DeMarco, tell me, is there anything to read into here? If so, what? And lastly, what would you like CM Punk to do as far as wrestling if you could be his manager and give him a suggestion?
Okay, I like that. So for starters, I think he wants back in. And a lot of that comes from his demeanor with the interviews that he did at StarCast, the recent StarCast, in support of All Out. He was very intentional when he said that he doesn't hate WWE anymore. Like, he's over that. And he wants other people to get over it too. When he talked about how there's a lot of good shit out there, not just AEW, and combined with the comments that Cody made, where he was like, I think he goes back to WWE because their negotiations obviously didn't go very well. I think that he wants back into the business of professional wrestling. He has some experience commentating with through UFC Fight Pass, whichever promotion he was doing the commentary for. I can't recall the name of it, but he's, and of course he did a bang up job doing commentary for WWE in the past.
That's what comes to my analyst, mind.
Say that again?
That's what came to my mind right away, was when he was injured and had that stint. I think it was on Raw. He was, you know, color commentary, and I loved it.
And as an, you got to remember, these shows are put forth by FS1. Like, it wouldn't shock me if Renee Young is collecting another paycheck now, being the host of WWE Backstage and having to work Tuesdays whenever they record it, which will probably be earlier in the day on Tuesday. If you want an analyst analyst that's going to make a splash. If you're FS1 and you really want someone that can do a good job, and they're somewhat familiar with Punk because he was involved with the UFC when they had their relationship with Fox, I think it's a no-brainer to have someone like Punk come in if that's what he wants. And obviously it is. There was talk that his manager tried to, you know, reach out about that screen test. And I think that it's a good inroad into the WWE. Here's the part you're going to get excited about. I don't think that's the ceiling for what's going on here. Now, I'm not saying that CM Punk is sitting in his apartment in Chicago right now. And it's not, I say apartment, it's like a beautiful million-dollar loft. I don't think he's sitting there going, I really want to get back in main event WrestleMania. I think he's more of a, I'll put my toe in the water and see how this goes because I'm open to it. And because he's, you know, people think he doesn't care. And I thought he didn't care. And he walked out of the company and he's an emotional guy, but it's his fire. It's his drive. It's his competitive nature that got him to the top of WWE when he was pretty much one of the most unlikely people to make it to the top of WWE. Now, you get your Daniel Bryans, you got your Kofi Kingstons, but CM Punk was in that same model in terms of that same mold in terms of getting to the top of WWE. But he got there. He left over frustration. That was over 5 years ago at this point. And I don't want to say it's water under the bridge, but he's got like a better standing of WWE right now than he does of Colt Cabana. And that was his best friend. So that kind of gives you an idea of where he is. But I don't think that's the ceiling. I think if that goes well and he has some interactions with WWE superstars, because I'm sure there'll be a rotating cast of guest stars, you know there's going to be some comments. There's going to be some little snickers and jokes about his prior interactions with people, his prior feuds. And he's going to get that itch. He's going to that fire is going to be relit for him. And I could definitely see him looking to make a comeback. Now, I don't think he wants to make a full-time comeback. But remember, the schedule is changing in WWE. It's a Friday through Monday week now. They're not now. Everybody's not working all the house shows. The schedule is being reduced for superstars as we get to the point where they're only going to run one show Friday or one show Saturday, one show Sunday, probably super shows on the house show loops. And so he could work a much reduced schedule and still work major pay-per-views, your SummerSlams, your WrestleManias, your Royal Rumbles. He'd probably love to appear at a takeover, probably not wrestle. Like, I think he could kind of get what he wants in terms of what would make him happy in this situation if this works out. And personally, I'm hopeful. I would love to see him in the studio show, and I would love to see him make a return to the ring. And Tony, if he's on the studio show, that pretty much becomes FS1's highest rated show from the jump.
Oh, without a doubt. It's the splash we all talked about when the speculation in air quotes, was that AEW was going to pony up the money to get CM Punk at the beginning of their TV run, right? Yep. And that's not happening now, but we all agreed. Everyone agreed. Like him or not, agree with him, disagree with him. CM Punk equals ratings, especially now that he's been gone that long, and it does feel like he misses what's going on. I think he sees different things that he could do creatively with different guys that are in different places or guys that have never been there when he was at that level before and could work with people like that. I also feel like the change of the guard creatively on Raw and SmackDown from what we hear could possibly help him as well. But I agree with everything you said. You're excited. Feel these nipples. You know what I'm saying? That's the saying. But lastly, on this topic, I want you to have last word. And it's the last question I asked you. You're his manager. You're someone who has his ear that he actually listens to. What kind of advice do you give to him? And what kind of schedule / what kind of things would you want him to do?
I want to jump backwards real quick, only because you made me think of something. You know, when he appeared at StarCast, I bet that's where all this started. Because sometimes when you do something, it makes you become more open to other things. So he goes to StarCast, his first major wrestling appearance, probably had some conversations with people, and he's probably like, okay, I can do this. He's got a pretty high bullshit meter, so he probably sees through a lot of the things that AEW is doing and saying. But I bet that's what opened the door for him to reach out to his agent and be like, hey, what about this? Here's how I'm feeling. So I think StarCast had a lot to do with it, which means, you know, once again, we owe something to Conrad Thompson.
Hey, I'm sorry. Actual... I'm, Hold on, I'm interrupting you before you get to that, because I want to say this first, though. Do you think the fact that he misses it, that he contacted Silas, or do you think Silas contacted him, or do you think he was just around in town like he is? He trains up here with Duke Rufus down in Cudahy, 10 minutes from my house, right? He obviously had an inkling there. Something clicked in him that said, yeah, I'll come and do this run-in at a fucking house show in Milwaukee, which is a decent place to wrestle, but there's no more than 250 people there.
Right. I think my more to do with the actual physical building than anything else. Like, he probably heard that it was the last show ever in that building and probably wanted to do something for it. I don't think that had anything to do with an itch to return. Okay. That may be part of the inspiration for the itch to return, but I really think his motivation there was more to do with the location than it was anything, any desire he has about wrestling.
I agree with that. He's been there many times before in his earlier days. So a great point.
Like, I know for a fact Adam Pearce wanted to be there, but couldn't because he was agenting that weekend for WWE. And you know, Pearce is a stand-up guy because he commented and talked about that venue closing down and what it meant to him. So I think it's really about the venue.
I seen Pierce wrestle there before I could drink alcohol, okay? So let's put it that way.
So to answer your other question about the situation, if I'm managing him, if I'm giving him advice, I would tell him basically use what you learned in UFC and that, you know, follow that Brock Lesnar schedule. Make your appearances sporadic. Make your appearances meaningful. Yes, you'll catch some shit from people because you're going to become what you bitched about. But who cares what people think? Like, you know, I kind of became my best self when I stopped giving a fuck what other people think. That was a fun conversation I had with my own mother one day when I was like, I really don't care if someone gets mad at me. But that's when you kind of become your best self. And I kind of got that vibe from him when he got over WWE and what happened there. I think I would tell him to do the super schedule, you know, work the major shows, collect your paychecks and keep yourself special. Work TV on occasion. You know, Fox would probably want him to be on that side, which is fine. Even though Heyman's a Raw commodity. Heyman's also going to be on SmackDown more because of Brock Lesnar. So Heyman would be around. I could see him and Eric Bischoff getting along, to be honest with you. So I would, you know, save him for the big events. And I also think, you know, the way the roster's so loaded right now, you don't want Punk to become normal. But there's no reason to do that. Honestly, as much as people hate part-timers, special attractions are extremely valuable to WWE. And this past WrestleMania had no Cena, no Undertaker. It did have a Triple H and a Batista, but Batista's done. There's a lot you could do with CM Punk at a WrestleMania, at a Survivor Series, at a SummerSlam, at a Royal Rumble, and the occasional TV appearances keep him special. I'd say no more than like 12, you know, WWE non, you know, behind a desk, no more than like 12 in-ring appearances per year, and like no more than 12 Brock Lesnar. That's both in the ring and cutting some kind of promo to set something up.
So, folks, I've been on vacation for 4 hours already, and I hope I'm not embarrassing myself by forgetting this here, but I don't remember there being a Brock Lesnar CM Punk program, correct?
There was. They worked. I don't remember which pay-per-view it was, but I'm pretty sure they had a match. I think Lesnar won. I could be completely wrong, though. I mean, I feel like I've seen it, but I could be totally wrong. And because I'm driving, I can't exactly Google that shit, but I feel like there was something at some point and that Lesnar came out on top. But again, man, I might be just completely misremembering and totally fucking that up in my head.
I would still buy that, though. Like, CM Punk would be cheered when he came back no matter what happened, and people are dying to boo Brock Lesnar. I mean, anyway, yeah, that's a pipe dream. You know, I just like that's Tunney books here, booking by Tunney, as we like to call it. That happens, you know, on this show and in real life too. But just wanted to bring that up and put that out there for people and see if they bite. I think it's an interesting thing that just happened there. Do you have any last thoughts on this topic? Anything that you didn't get to throw in there, or should we move on?
No, but I want to know. I mean, I know you wanted me to have the last word, but you being the CM Punk super fan that you are, what do you want to see him weekly? Would you want to see him special occasion? Like,
I would love for him to host that studio show and then get called out, maybe do certain programs. He's around, but I don't think it matters to me what I would like or not like, to be honest with you, because I'm smart enough to know that he'll never wrestle a full-time schedule ever again, even being on TV every night for 6 months. He won't even ever do that again, I don't think.
Can we get AJ back too then? Like, I'd be down for that.
I heard she's wanted to come back for a while.
There you go. Open it up. And I'd say same thing for her. Super schedule, super matches only. At this point, you're too much of a hot commodity to water yourself down. With their TV schedule, and if you notice, they're doing it a lot more lately anyway, once you become big star level, you shouldn't be wrestling on TV every day. Like, that's something from the old days. Like, Dusty never wrestled on TV. Ric Flair, as a world champion, wrestled more on television than Dusty Rhodes did back in the late 80s and in the mid 80s. So I'm all about your big stars being treated as someone you got to pay to see.
I think that's a great place to leave it. Speaking of people that are stars, speaking of people that have done things other than wrestling and gone off and been successful in other avenues and had success in other promotions besides having early success in WWE, another person I'm a big fan of, it's just really a great week to be me as far as wrestling goes, because I'm pretty much indifferent about the whole AEW thing, and we'll get to that. And I'm not a huge fan of NXT. I enjoy NXT. I think it's great, but John Morrison, I messaged you the other day and I'm like, dude, yeah, is this real? And you're like, yep. I'm like, sweet. John Morrison back with WWE. I don't know what to expect. I think, obviously, he'll be a full-time performer, I would imagine. That's what he should do. I don't think they'll start him off at any championship level, maybe like an ICUS thing. I don't think he's going to be in the tag team division. It's going to be him. It's going to be the mayor of Slamtown. It's going to be him at putting out an even better character of himself, in my opinion. We talked about ceilings for people. What's his ceiling in his second run here in WWE? What do you expect from him? And how excited are you about this?
I'm very excited, first of all. It's funny, you know, we're asking if this is real, if it's not. It hasn't been reported by WrestleVotes, Ryan Satin, or Fightful, which are the three that have the highest hit rate in terms of news. But here's my take, and I had a conversation with somebody about this earlier today when they're trying to argue whether or not this news is real. If this news was fake, I feel like Johnny and Taya would be out there calling bullshit all over the place, and they're not. They're not calling bullshit at all. So this tells me that this is real, and so that's why I'm going with it as it's real, because they strike me as the kind of people that we call on the websites out for reporting it. In terms of his ceiling, I don't know. I mean, look, anything can happen. Like, we didn't think at this time last year that Kofi Kingston was going to be world champion. I don't see him getting to the world championship level. I definitely see him IC title, you know, US title, that sort of thing. I could even see him winning a Money in the Bank briefcase and losing, you know, doing a legit cash in, not a surprise cash in, and losing that thing. But he's going to put on great matches. He's going to help put people over. He can, you know, due to his acting background, he can fill in a lot of those other things that WWE does, other appearances, including, and this is where I'm going here, with a guy who does a lot of that shit named The Miz, which gets me to how you bring this motherfucker back. I mean, you got a ready-made program between Johnny Nitro Morrison Mundo and The Miz. And it wouldn't be beyond these guys to have him show up on the set slash house of The Miz's reality show and pull some shit. Like, these guys are that kind of creative. And I don't know Taya's deal with Impact Wrestling, but it's a no-brainer to bring her into. Like, that's just, to me, is where you go with all of this. I don't know how long she's under contract for. She is, you know, a champion right now. She's a hell of a talent. talent. Some of her best work was in Lucha Underground. You want to see an intergender match, go watch Taya versus Brian Cage from Lucha Underground. It was believable, and that's hard to say given how big that motherfucker is. And I'm talking about Brian Cage, not about Taya. But I love it. And I don't think he's in a position where he feels like he needs to be a champion or where his happiness would come from being a champion. I don't buy into any of that stuff at all. Personally, I love it, and I really hope it's true. And maybe they're saving him for a surprise on Friday. Who the hell knows? I think he's a big enough surprise still. I know some people would scoff at that, but I don't care what they think. Personally, I like it, and I think it's great. And I do think that he'll be back. Yeah, it's all, you know, if I wasn't driving, I'd give it 2 thumbs up.
I can appreciate that. I do also like that return on Friday. Let's get into the war. Let's get into the thing everybody's...
Wait, before you do, okay. Before you do, I didn't know if there was more to this topic. I want to ask you, and this is a good segue too. The whole idea about AEW, and talking about John Morrison right now, or Johnny Nitro, whatever you want to call it, everyone likes to talk about, and there was even room, you know, news out there being reported, that Vince will sign people just so that AEW can't sign them. Do you see this, the John Morrison signing, as a sign John Morrison so AEW doesn't move?
Not specifically. I don't think that it hurts that AEW is around and it's making WWE more willing to give people like this money that could help them. But I think it's more of a John Morrison probably got to choose where he wanted to go. If you want to go to AEW, there's no way in hell AEW wasn't going to give him a contract. But John Morrison has the taste in his mouth from years before of being in the WWE. And you can be the biggest, you know, optimist when it comes to AEW, but there's nothing like working WWE. And there's nothing like working WWE when you've already had that taste in your mouth. You know. All you people already know, AEW's got years and years and years to even be called a viable opponent to WWE. They just have a lot of media buzz going on right now, in my opinion. And that's part of my thing with AEW. You know, I don't – show me something first.
Agree. 100%. Like, they haven't shown me anything. I don't think John Morrison would be the name that puts AEW over the top anyway. So I don't think that's the case at all. That's why I got your perspective on it. But yeah, you say show me something. I've actually enjoyed the two events I enjoyed the most out of AEW were not the pay-per-views. They were the free ones. I really liked Fight for the Fallen, except for the main event. And I really enjoyed Fighter Fest. I thought that was a well-done show, except for the stupid post-match promo they cut. But that's them being them. When they're kind of a little more relaxed and not uptight, I think AEW has the opportunity to be quite entertaining, maybe on an NXT level for me. But yeah, I agree with the show me something. I disagree with the show me something, because I think the only reason they got to show me something is because they got to show me something that matches the big game they're talking. They're literally talking themselves into having to overperform what they can really do. If they kept their fucking mouths shut a little bit, I think that they'd actually have more realistic, people would have more realistic expectations if they just stopped talking, and they won't stop talking.
To me, Vince kind of was like, you know what? I'm going to put my secondary brand up against you just so that you seem secondary. He didn't decide that he needed to have Raw or SmackDown up against AEW. He went, you know what? I don't really care what you're doing. I'm going to put NXT up there. And I'm not trying to take away from NXT. But compared to Raw and SmackDown, there's a lot less roots in the ground that go as deep. You know what I mean?
100%. Oh, yeah. And here's the thing about even moving NXT to USA Network. If AEW didn't go on Wednesday nights, that probably wouldn't have happened. Although it may have, because USA probably wanted more content when they lost SmackDown. But it's I joked about this on my own show. TNT putting AEW on Wednesdays made the WWE another $90 million. Like, that's how good it is to be WWE and Vince McMahon.
Hey,
I think they would have been fine keeping it on network, but, you know, AEW pops up. What's WWE's not just going to sit back and let it happen. And I credit Jim Ross on
the most recent edition of Grillin' JR, he loves to call shit out on Vince McMahon all the time and say he couldn't just let AEW have their day. But then JR said something very poignant to me. He said, but Vince absolutely should have done what he did and moved NXT over to USA Network and competed, because that's what, you know, that's what the world's all about. And he's got a good product in NXT. So I love it. I'm so excited about Wednesday right now. I'm so excited. I created a whole new podcast about it. Like, that's how excited I am about what we're about to embark on for Wednesdays. I think AEW has to show me shit before they're even considered competition for NXT.
Hey, ring the bell again, Greg.
Ding, ding, motherfucker. Ding, ding.
Let's talk about what's actually happening next week on NXT and AEW. Because to me, there's the four biggest things that are going on. Obviously, there's tag team championship match on NXT. But, you know, we got Riddle versus Cole. You got Candice and Shayna, two title matches. And then the women's match on the AEW side, Riho and Nyla Rose. And then you got who's going to show up with Jericho to face the Young Bucks and Kenny Omega. Out of those four, I'm telling you, next week there's going to be a power outage and you're only going to have power for a little bit and you can only record one thing. Next Wednesday, you can only watch one match. What's your one match, Greg DeMarco?
Matt Riddle versus Adam Cole.
I said I wasn't going to play. Yeah, you know, good grief. I said I wasn't going to play sound during our conversation, but
bro,
that's right.
I thought you were going to play the Adam Cole one, actually. But either way, I like them both.
All right, so what?
But no,
I know you were waiting for it. I couldn't find the Adam Cole thing because I didn't set anything up here. But what's your one match? Oh, there it is.
Adam Cole,
I'm going to interrupt you. Floor is yours.
That's a takeover main event. Right there. Like, that's a total takeover main event. And they're putting it on free television to counter-program AEW. I think it's beautiful. I think it's brilliant. I don't think Riddle's going to go over, although it wouldn't shock me if he did, just to really pop the fan base. But it's a great show that NXT has put together. And it's a better show than what AEW has planned for their debut of Dynamite. That's not a knock on what AEW has planned. It's perfectly fine. It just doesn't compare to NXT at all.
It just goes to show you that there's so many more weapons in just the NXT arsenal alone than what AEW has. And I'm not trying to say this from a WWE loving AEW killing hater, right? I want them to grow and prosper and be better, but I want you people to understand they do not have the artillery to be compared to what's happening even on NXT right now. And I'm not saying that's a slight on NXT. People just need to understand that, you know? I that's a great point that you have.
Yeah, I mean, NXT, if people haven't watched the last two episodes of NXT, it's a completely different show. Like, the way they're presenting it, it's like nothing I've ever seen before. Like, they now have this stand, this like interview looking stand above the commentary area that overlooks they made the NXT arena, which holds like 400 to 500 people, look huge. They just, you know, their matches are what they do in WWE. It's funny. So AEW touts themselves as the alternative to WWE. So what Vince McMahon did was he greenlit NXT to go be the alternative to his own company, WWE. And I honestly think that NXT in its first 2 weeks has already taken what AEW does and done it better than what AEW is going to do. And I could be totally wrong. I could be completely wrong, and they prove me wrong when I watch, you know, Dynamite on Wednesday and I watch NXT on Wednesday, and I could be wrong and I'll admit if I'm wrong, but I feel like NXT is doing AEW better than AEW. And it was just not a sleeping giant because it's not going to get to the Raw or SmackDown level, but like, what's the next level below a giant? It's whatever a sleeping next level below a giant would be, like a mini giant. Is a mini giant a thing? Like the Mexican minis in wrestling are really just shorter people. Like, they're not midgets, but they're like 4'11", 5'1", and so they're called minis. like whatever a mini giant would be, NXT was a sleeping mini giant.
Like whatever the lowest qualification for being a giant is, you're like a quarter inch short.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I don't know what that's called. I've been trying to think of something clever since you brought it up, but I couldn't do it.
I can't think of anything either. Like a demi giant. I don't know. But whatever it is, that's what NXT was to me. I've always been an NXT fan. I've always been a person who loves NXT so much, and I've loved it even more since they debuted. I'll take the question you asked me earlier about if the power was that I could only record one thing. If you listed all those shows, Raw, SmackDown, NXT, AEW, fucking Impact on Tuesday, and WoW on Saturday, and everything else, and if I could only watch one show, that show would be NXT.
There you go. From your lips to our listeners' ears. Last thing before we slide on to our last topic here. Who do you think Jericho's partners are going to be? Do you have any inclination on this? Who would you want it to be? I have no idea.
I don't either. Here's the thing about that. I don't think it's LAX, because LAX has already debuted. They got their new name. I can't remember what it is. Not as good as LAX. And I'm trying to think of even who's available and who's out there, and they could very easily be someone who's actually actively wrestling somewhere else. Who knows? It could shock us and be like fucking Briscoe Brothers. Who the hell knows? Like, it just wouldn't shock me right now, anything in pro wrestling. I think it's someone we haven't seen already in AEW. Cody did talk about how they've only revealed 40% to half the roster, and so there's some other people. I don't know. Like, they didn't have any major debuts at All Out. Now, they would have if Moxley didn't get hurt. Pac would have been, or Pac, whatever his name is now, would have been probably a surprise for All Out, and it didn't happen because of Moxley's injury. I mean, I hope the fucking guts on Enzo and Cass. Like, please don't be Enzo and Cass. I beg of you, don't be Enzo and Cass. I just, if anything, it might be a letdown short term, but a good thing long-term. Because if you're trying to get two guys over long-term, who better to put them with than Chris Jericho, who could probably take a selfie of himself or a video of himself taking a shit, put it on a t-shirt, and outsell everything else at Pro Wrestling Tees. Like, Jericho has the Midas touch right now. And while it might be a bit of a letdown who they announce, because I don't know who it could be that would be a major surprise, just thinking of the landscape of pro wrestling, unless it's like the Gorillas of Destiny. Shit, I just don't know. But I think in the long term, it's going to really help whoever these two guys are.
Yeah, I couldn't agree with you more. There's a whole bunch of different ways that they could go at this fork in the road for next week with his partners that can work out in their favor any which way. So, and that's the nice thing about starting from scratch, especially since, like, now your storyline involves weekly TV. I think now this is the official beginning. Like, everything else was like the precursor. Like, what's that? What is that? The prologue that comes before the first chapter? Am I?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yep. So
the prologue, the foreword.
All right. You brought up Pro Wrestling Tees. Before we get to our last topic, everybody, go over to prowrestlingtees.com/thechairshot. There are tons of great t-shirts there. Super clever, very stylish. Mr. DeMarco, tell them to go there.
Go to prowrestlingtees.com/thechairshot. Pick up your very own chair shot t-shirt. Get it. This is a shout out for my BFF, my other BFF, hashtag Miranda. She's the queen of soft style. I know Tony is also a soft style king himself, loves the shirts in the style of the soft. Yes, I got my last two shirts were in the soft style. I went down only shirts in soft style after that experience. They're so comfortable. I love them. They wear better. They last longer over time. Definitely go out there and get your soft style t-shirt. But it's just, you know, it's a great way to support the site, great way to support the product that we do. And you look good doing it. So, you know, it's really a win-win-win. All of way around prowrestlingtees.com/thechairshot, or click store on the menu at thechairshot.com. It'll take you right there. Either way, go pick up a shirt.
Listen, folks, soft style, your nipples will thank you. All right, next week, you know, we got soft the sport style. We got the sports show on the chair shot. Big Rick does a phenomenal job. The Weekly Blitz. He's on vacation next week. I've officially been greenlighted to host the Weekly Blitz next week. We'll see who I'm going to have on the show. We're obviously going to talk NFL, college football. You're going to have another DWI podcast next week. You're obviously going to have Pod is War. And Mr. DeMarco, would you like to expound on something you dropped in earlier, that there is going to be another Greg DeMarco production?
There sure is. Hashtag quality content. We'll start using it. So obviously, you know, I host the Greg DeMarco show on Tuesdays. When we record on Tuesdays, goes up on Wednesdays. Right after that's over, Patrick O'Dowd goes to bed. Miranda Morales and I host the hashtag Miranda show. Well, she hosts. I'm her co-host, permanent guest, as she likes to say. And then that goes up Wednesday nights. And now, with the advent of the Wednesday night wars, with AEW and NXT being Wednesday nights, Brittany Nicole, who's made multiple appearances on the Greg DeMarco show and on the hashtag Miranda show, and I are debuting a brand new podcast to focus on the Wednesday night wars. We'll probably call it Wednesday Night Wars or WNW. Nailed that down yet? We'll record on Thursdays. It'll be available to you on Friday mornings, and just really excited to bring that to you. She's wanted to do a project with us for the longest time. We needed to find the right topic and the right time to record it. This was that. She does an amazing job. If you listen to last week's Greg DeMarco show, she sounds good. She knows her shit. She's a pro. She's a ring announcer and does stuff for Elevate Pro down there in the New Orleans area. And they're on TV locally. She does a lot of great things. Super excited to finally be able to put this project together and do that with her. But for you, the listener, what's most important is that you get to hear it. You're going to have a lot of fun. And we're going to cover really what could be one of the hottest topics in pro wrestling for the next year or so. And that is the Wednesday Night Wars.
All right, folks, the last thing I want to say here is, if you haven't listened to the Greg DeMarco show this past week, he had the bouncers on. From what I've heard, it's a phenomenal interview. I plan on listening it tomorrow morning. I have a little bit of a drive. So you can find everything we just talked about over at
TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
Mr. DeMarco, Greg, Greggy Bones, Mr. Vicious and Delicious, if you will. The thing that I'm anticipating the most since I've heard it announced and it became official, despite everything else that's going on in the wrestling world. And yes, folks, I'm a WWE snob, and if you don't like it, I don't care. I still like other things, but it's my right to like what I like. And I can't wait for Brock Lesnar versus Kofi Kingston. I think Kofi beats Brock. I just said it, Greg.
I mean, it's so hard to pick that match. Like, it's damn near impossible to pick that one. And that's great. That's the fucking way it should be. Right? We shouldn't know who's going to win. That's what wrestling's all about.
Ding, but ding, Kofi, motherfucker. Ding, ding.
Yeah, ding, ding, motherfucker. That's right. It's Kofi Kingston has been on a run that was unimaginable for so long. And now, here we are. There must be an accident up ahead if you heard those sirens. It's not for me, thankfully. His run has been magical. And I think there was more to it. I think it was planned a little further than we like to think, but that's the magic of pro wrestling. And his run has been better than any of us could have guessed it was going to be. And the multiple wins over Randy Orton and just everything that he's done. Like, I can't shake the feeling that he's going to get out of this as champion, too. Will he win? Will someone help him win to cause a different feud for Brock Lesnar? Will Orton get involved? Because of this match, they haven't been able to announce what's going on with the WWE Championship at Hell in a Cell. Because here's the thing. SmackDown's on Friday, the first, new SmackDown on Fox. Hell in a Cell's on Sunday. Like, fucking shows 2 days later. I mean, they're really going to screw up our staff picks. Can't even really do them because we're not going to know the full Hell in a Cell card until Friday night after SmackDown and the damn shows 2 days later, because they really can't say what's going to happen with the WWE Championship until after Kofi versus Brock takes place. I still think we get Kofi versus Orton and Hell in a Cell for that title. So, and maybe Brock's in there at the three-way, who knows? But Hell in a Cell is kind of taking a backseat to everything else going on. But I'm with you, Tunny, at least halfway there.
I can't shake this feeling that Brock's not winning that title. I just can't shake it.
I feel like he's due for a hiatus. No?
I mean, I think he likes the schedule he's on now. He comes and goes. I think it's a short hiatus. I think we see him at Survivor Series in some role, some capacity, maybe. I definitely think he's back by Royal Rumble. I think he's the perfect entrant for the Royal Rumble. Fuck, he can win the damn thing. Who knows? But it's really, you know, I mean, yeah, it's. I think it's your normal Brock Lesnar schedule. I think if he does go on hiatus, I think he's part of Survivor Series. But, you know, worst case scenario, he's back by Rumble to set up his WrestleMania program. He's definitely going to be at Mania. I love Brock. I'm a Brock apologist, if you want to call it that. But I love Kofi, too. But, yeah, he's due for some time off, maybe. Again, like I said with CM Punk earlier, yeah, keep it special. A guy like Brock Lesnar, a guy like CM Punk. Roman Reigns is barely wrestled on TV. Like, you got to keep these guys special. And that's what they're doing a good job of doing. And I feel the same way about Brock Lesnar.
I couldn't agree with you more. It's just going to be an exciting week next week. I'm so glad I have off of work. I can stay up as late as I want. I can watch all this shit. I can drink while I'm doing it, et cetera, et cetera. You know, we say it so many times. It's a great time to be a wrestling fan. There's so many options. If you don't like something, there's a dozen other legitimate things to watch. So I don't know what to tell you, people. Stop bitching. Just enjoy it. And things are only going to get better as we keep going. I don't really know, getting back to Brock and Kofi, how would you book this if Brock won, is what I'm saying. I mean, obviously it would give you maybe more people subscribing to hear that Kofi lost that didn't subscribe and he's going to get his rematch at Hell in a Cell. Would you buy into that?
I don't know if it'd be a Hell in a Cell kind of a rematch or if it would build long-term. Look, they've done it before. Like, Stone Cold Steve Austin won the WWF Championship at WrestleMania 14, then turned around and won it again at WrestleMania 15, and they basically rebuilt the same story with The Rock. You could rebuild Kofi's story with Daniel Bryan again for WrestleMania 36 with Brock Lesnar. You could very well do that. Kofi has become that type of commodity. Maybe the New Day gets involved. Maybe that's how you start some dissension with the New Day, even though I don't love that idea. Orton could get involved. Maybe Orton fucks Brock over because Orton wants to be the one to beat Kofi. And maybe, you know, Brock's got the upper hand and boom, RKO out of nowhere. And there's a disqualification win. You know, we don't love DQs, but shit, it's TV. It might pull a DQ out. Who knows? But, and then I think it's too soon to go from Kofi losing on Friday to winning it back on Sunday. Although they've been knowing, I mean, shit, remember when Kane won the world title Sunday and lost it on Monday? Like, they could do that shit again with Kofi. Who knows? But yeah, it's just weird. I definitely agree. Like, I just don't see it. I know everyone thought, well, we're going to Fox. Brock's going to win the belt. Now we're here. I just can't shake the feeling that that's not what they're doing. Now, Bischoff could love the idea of Brock Lesnar's world champion. Who knows? He's not the only creative force there. Bruce Pritchard is there as well. Kofi has done amazing. He's done an amazing job as champion. Yeah, I don't know how you would book it. I just don't see the logic in it. And I know I'm applying logic to an illogical situation, but the booking logic, I just don't see what you do and how you make it happen if Kofi loses.
Right here, all the conversations that we had, mine, you know, even including CM Punk, is just a testament to all the great possibilities that are out there right now. And the fact that everybody is motivating everybody else. You know, they talk about professional sports and the good teams. They have the people that push each other in practice, right? They fight in practice. They fight for their spot there. So when they get to the game, they're already battle tested. And right now, everybody is pushing everybody else in wrestling. And it's a great thing. We've already talked about here today how Vince has made moves to counteract a company that hasn't even started their weekly product yet, right? And the fact that WWE's third brand quite possibly could maybe be their best brand moving forward. But I just love being a wrestling fan right now. That's my last thing that I want you to talk about is, you know, what other time could you have picked to want to be a wrestling fan than right now?
I mean, I loved my time as a fan, you know, back in the old NWA days,
when Starcade was the shit and all that, but I wouldn't trade now for anything. Like, we fucking NXT has drawn over 1 million viewers for the past 2 weeks. Like, that's crazy. It's been in the top 10 both weeks. It was like number 6 and number 8 or number 4 and number 8 or something like that. Like, there's no better time to be a fan than now. It wasn't that long ago that people were saying wrestling isn't cool, wrestling isn't hot, wrestling isn't this hot commodity anymore. God, that's bullshit. Like, man, the wrestling world right now is on fire. There's so much good stuff out there. We didn't really talk about Impact Wrestling. They're on Tuesdays. That's a beautiful move for them going to Tuesdays. You got another company in MLW that is taking off and hitting pay-per-view here shortly, that is putting on some of the best stuff, and it's for free. You can watch it on YouTube on Saturdays when they release it. I mean, there is so much good wrestling available out there for everyone to see. I mean, shit, if you don't like WWE, spend less time complaining about it and spend more time watching something else, because it's out there and it's easy to find. Now I say that, and I'm stupid for saying that, because people don't want to watch a better product. They just want to bitch about WWE. Fuck them. Let them. I don't care. We've got some great shit out there to watch. Next week's going to be nuts. But here's the thing about next week being nuts, Tony. Every week after, it's going to be nuts too. It's not like these are one-off specials next week. Literally, we got Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Friday, Saturday, every fucking week for the foreseeable future. And NXT UK's on Thursdays. And if you like indie wrestling, Beyond Wrestling moved their Uncharted Territory show from Wednesday to Thursday. Like, there's literally shit on every day. Man, it's a great time to be a wrestling fan. Let me say this. Wrestling is a fabric of the culture of the United States of America. Like, if you look, like wrestling is everywhere. You hear there's mainstream mentions of it on a weekly basis on network television, on sports talk radio, and everything. Like, people like to treat wrestling like it's counterculture. It's just fucking culture at this point. Like, wrestling is literally a part of what this country is. And as a wrestling fan, as someone who, you know, if I take off my analyst hat, my publisher hat, my podcaster hat, and I'm so excited about all those things, as a fan of the business, which I'm probably a bigger fan of the business than anything else about wrestling, this shit's great. I couldn't be more excited about pro wrestling than I am right now. And I've been watching it for 36 years, so that says a lot.
Ding, ding, motherfucker. Ding, ding. And the place for all of you folks to go to keep up with everything that's going on, to get the best analysis of what happened, to get the best opinions on what's going to and what has happened, and just to keep up with everything, if you're not able to watch, you go to thechairshot.com. 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 Use your head and always visit thechairshot.com. Greg, thank you so much. I literally was just thank messaging you so that you could give me one extra idea to do. I was going to do a solo shot this week, and Greg's like, I'm even working a little bit. Let's have a conversation, and I'm always down with that. So, Mr. DeMarco, tell everybody where they can hear more of your thoughts and opinions and your love for the business on the air.
I mean, obviously, you can listen to the Greg DeMarco Show, hashtag Miranda Show, Wednesday Night Wars, soon to be debuting next week. All of those are available at thechairshot.com. You got The Outsider's Edge. You got Pod is War. You got all kinds of great content going on. You got DWI. I mean, so much good shit over at thechairshot.com. Such good shit, pal, as the man would say. You can find it at thechairshot.com. You can find me at Chairshot Greg on the Twitter. It's the same address on Facebook and Instagram, because that's the way to go. If you have multiple forms of social media, goddamn handle should be the same thing on all. Like, I literally got Brittany, my new co-host, to change her Instagram handle last night because she was like, you know what? You're right. They should all be the same. And she changed it yesterday and messaged me. It was like, you happy now? It's all Chairshot Greg. That's where you can find it. You can email me, Greg DeMarco at thechairshot.com. I'll probably set up a Chairshot Greg at thechairshot.com alias just so I can make the email address the same too. Who the hell knows? But look, you might not love everything I say if you follow me on those forms of social media, but I view my job as to help you enjoy wrestling more. And that's why I say a lot of the things that I say, because I love wrestling and I'm enjoying the hell out of it. And I don't see why everybody can't enjoy the hell out of wrestling as well. So chairshot.com, thechairshot.com, And at Chairshot Greg, that's where you can find me. I'll follow you back. We'll have a lot of fun. That's what this is all about.
Thanks, Greg. I appreciate it. I always appreciate it. You know, we always have a good time talking wrestling. Yeah. Folks, Greg DeMarco, the publisher, the kingpin, El Presidente of thechairshot.com. And you've been listening to another edition of the podcast known as DWI. Big wrestling week, folks. Tune in. Pay attention. It's going to be big.
Sodas rule.
Yeah, they do.